Welcome to the Full Monty Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:46 British Summer Time. Today is October 11th. Well, a relatively quiet day on stock markets in Wall Street and in Europe. Most markets finished in positive territory, pretty much universally, less than 1%. Probably one of the better performers was in Canada. That's following through on a pretty impressive performance last week. In Asia, we continue to see that the leading markets continue to lead on the upside. The Hang Seng was firmer by over 1% today, and that's following through on a really quite an impressive performance on the A-share market. It's been up well in excess of 1 or 2% for three consecutive days. It's breaking upwards out of this little range, and we're certainly getting some bullish activity following the week-long break for the mid-autumn festival. Elsewhere in Asia, it's pretty universally positive, with a large number of markets becoming increasingly overextended relative to their 200-day moving averages. Now, that leaves them susceptible to a mean reversion correction, but there's absolutely no evidence yet that that has started. And while they are overextended relative to their 200-day moving averages, they also remain incredibly consistent with progressions of higher reaction lows, and any reactions that there have been relatively similar in size. So they're pretty simple charts to monitor, and any big change in the consistency characteristics of those trends is likely to be really quite obvious. And if past experience is anything to go by, then we can expect that they will all peak at a relatively similar stage, so that we would have downward dynamics on a number of markets simultaneously. Given the fact that risk assets such as stock markets and the dollar have been going in opposite directions, this inverse correlation is something to be very much aware of. And the dollar was a little bit firmer in here today. It was firmer by just over a half of a cent against the euro, and maybe a little bit more than that against the pound. But against commodity currencies such as the Australian dollar or the US dollar, it wasn't particularly strong at all. And it really remains in a consistent downtrend against the vast majority of commodity-related or Asian or Latin American currencies. And that is that has been the case for the last couple of months. And again, while some of the better performing stock markets are becoming overextended to the upside relative to their 200-day moving averages, well, the same thing is true of the dollar. It's becoming increasingly overextended to the downside. And it is also susceptible to a mean reversion rally. And that would act as a headwind for risk assets, particularly in the commodity sector. Today, the industrial metal complex was a little bit softer, and that fed through into the platinum market, which was softer by $17.90. Palladium was relatively unchanged. Both gold and silver closed at new highs in here today. Gold is closing above $1,350 for the first time. And while this isn't higher than that Q-reversal peak that we had last week, it is a new closing high, and it does look like we're going to see gold pushing on to new high ground. Oil was a little bit softer in here, but continues to hold above the $80 level, and it's close to $82 right now. In the soft commodities sector, corn was stronger and followed through on Friday's limit up performance. Same with soybeans. Both oats and wheat were a bit softer, and so was rough rice. So while Friday saw a remarkable move right across a number of these grain markets following a fairly negative USDA report, that did not follow through here today. So the key bullish news that came out on Friday was very much focused on the corn and the soybean markets, and that's where the bullish activity has followed through in here today. And that is also starting to be felt in related markets. So I posted an interesting story today about the live cattle market. And it is interesting that the pork bellies market is pretty much dysfunctional at the moment because there simply isn't any supply. And that isn't particularly important because pork bellies or bacon isn't exactly a staple food. But when you start to think about beef and beef burgers, it turns into something different. And the US herd is the smallest it's been in a number of decades. And higher food prices will have a knock-on effect. And those inflationary pressures are being built into the system. And that does raise the prospect that we could have a stagflationary type of environment a year from now. That certainly isn't the case today. And higher food prices in the short term aren't going to have a massively inflationary effect. If, on the other hand, oil was also to take off and it has held above this $80 level really quite impressively, then that would start to feed into inflationary fears in a very short period of time. At the moment, both corn and soybeans have sustained yesterday or Friday's impressive breakout, and that means that we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside, and they really would have to push back below Thursday's highs to or the Thursday's closing level to really countermand that that bullish activity that we saw on Friday. The fact that the dollar remains in this consistent downtrend is a tailwind for the commodity sector generally, and outside of the grain and bean sector, you have the sugar complex, which was a little bit softer into the close, but still pretty positive and has rallied very impressively over the last few days in particular, and over the last few months has almost doubled in price. Coffee is also really quite high relative to where it has traded historically. So it's not just in the foods, but right across the soft commodity sector that we're seeing an increasing amount of bullish interest. In the bond markets, with increasing bets that governments are going to step in and start to buy their own bonds, or central banks are going to start moving in to buy bonds, that is helping to support prices. But we haven't seen treasuries or gilts or bunds pushing back up to their highs. JGBs are a separate story because the Bank of Japan has been very much more active. But we haven't seen any of these central banks actually moving in to support the market just yet. And given the fact that stock markets are really quite firm, there's an open question as to whether they might have to. And regardless of how one wants to rationalize it, buying government bonds at this level is a simple matter of whether one wants to follow on the coattails of governments or not, because it's a pure momentum trade. And it's a momentum trade that has lost momentum. So one would have to really bet that governments are going to come in and start to support this market in a meaningful way once more, and from an already very high level. If one was at a central bank and thinking about moving in to support the market, it might not be a bad idea to let them fall a little bit first, and fall to such an extent that you could squeeze the bears and perhaps make some money out of your asset supporting process, rather than going in and paying historically high prices for them. In any case, even beyond the short-term possibility that central banks will go in and support their markets, it's a bad investment in the medium to longer term. We've had a 30-year bull market. Prices are remarkably high. Yields are at or close to historic lows. And there are plenty of other assets where there is a considerably better return. We're living in a completely bipolar world where we have a strong growth area in the population centers of Asia and being supported by commodity producing Latin America and other commodity producing countries, and countries that are producing what it is the big population centers of Asia need. And then we have highly indebted, low growth regions, predominantly in Western Europe and North America, and of course in Japan. And they are poles apart. I've posted David's presentation from the Contrary Opinion forum in a comment of the day today, and you'll also find it in the presentation section on our site. And it's well worth a look because it helps to flesh out that long-term theme. And it is a theme that is likely to have to run for a considerable period of time. And with that, just a final word on gold. With gold pushing on to a new closing high and the short-term progressions of higher reaction lows remaining intact, then we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. But this is generally, given the fact that we have overextensions relative to 200-day moving averages and the fact that the US dollar has become overextended, this is probably a time more for money control discipline rather than massively increasing positions. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.